first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to honor someone who just so happens not to be here today. And that person is Patty McKinnon. For those of you who don't know, we recently, the East Huntersville Ministry, blessed to become its own 501c3 entity. And we explored that option, pursued that option, just to be able to do a little bit more into the community. And with that comes a lot of paperwork and logistics and a lot of things to figure out. And part of that was figuring out what our logo was going to be and getting a logo that would be nice and clean cut and express everything in which what East Huntersville Community Outreach has been and is. So thanks to our board, which includes John Colberg, thanks to Mildred Houston, thanks to Larry Dwyer, myself, but really thanks to the graphic design expertise of Patty McKinnon, we were able to come up with this logo. So I wanted to present that to you guys. So do you guys like this logo? So the acronym ECHO, even though it's not spelled like the echo of sound, E-C-H-O, we still represent that same echo. So the love that we present and we show to others, we expect and pray for it to be echoed out. So when we do, when we volunteer and we do ministry in East Huntersville, we expect that to reverberate throughout the community. And so I think she did an awesome job of epitomizing what that means. So I had a special card for Patty and everything. And Christina, make sure she gets her card. It's on her desk. So I want to jump right in. Last week I met a man in Huntersville. No, I'm just kidding. I'm pretty sure you've heard every Huntersville joke that there is. So today I want to talk about rising up. Rising up. For the past couple months, every time I'd come to Meadow Lake, whether it be for One Youth or whether it be for a Tuesday meeting, I would see at the marquee at the entrance this rising up. And I didn't necessarily know what it meant, but I knew I was getting excited every time I'd see this sign. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to Jana and Mike, and we were trying to figure out ministry. We have a conference call every week, and we talk about outreach, and we talk about East Huntersville, and I realized that I haven't been before you guys in a while. If you don't know, the reason why I haven't been here is because of time restrictions between my church service and Meadow Lake's church service. I'm absolutely still serving your youth, still participating in their lives, but it's hard on Sunday mornings. So we talked about me coming to preach. And at first, I didn't know what I was going to preach about. But then I thought about that feeling that I kept feeling every time I came to Meadow Lake about those two words rising up that I feel like God placed there for me. And I realized that God was calling me here on June 11th to inspire the members of Meadow Lake to rise up and make a bigger impact. To make a big impact. And so I'm going to do that today by using a lesson I often use with sharing with teens thinking about their future or anybody wanting to answer questions of life. And I'm using the three W's. The three W's. What are the three W's? These three questions, if you can answer these questions, any other questions become easier because you can answer them based on your answers to these three questions. And the three W's are the what, the will, and the why. So the what for you today is what do you want your legacy to be? We know that legacy is anything handed down from the past, from an ancestor or predecessor, often thought to be money or property. What do you want to leave behind for generations to come? Legacy is also something that is a part of your history or that remains from an earlier time. What will history say about you? What will your reputation say about you? How will your life be defined? How is your life defined? Don't answer yet. Consider your identity first. Some of you are mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, grandparents, sons, daughters, friends, lawyers, salesmen, chefs, Uber drivers. But what does your identity as one of God's precious children say about you? What does it ask of you? We know the greatest commandments say love. And the second, not just to love, but to love others how we love ourselves. We could even insert think about, treat, and or consider in the place of love. So we must think about others as we think about ourselves. We must treat others like we treat ourselves, our family, our legacy. We must consider others the same way we consider ourselves, our families, our legacies. But don't answer yet. Consider your treasure next. We know that treasure is anything valued or greatly prized. The concept of loving, thinking, treating, considering others the same way as ourselves can sometimes be hard to swallow, especially when we, myself included, have often equated how we love ourselves and our families with time and money. Think about this. And our earthly thinking can only consider the limited amount of both that we possess. How can I consider someone or something other than myself or my family, my responsibilities, the same when there are only 24 hours in a day, most of which I have to work to provide for my family and then spend time with them? It is impossible to make them equate or justify the equality of me and mine and everything else, right? Jesus teaches us and then encourages us about things like time and money in Matthew 6. And no, the scriptures won't be up there, but I'm going to read them to you. Verse 19 through 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal." This is the part I want to highlight. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, things like time and money can and will pass away, especially when looked at carnally. They have an end, no matter how much of it we can accumulate. And those being treasures, things we highly value, even though we merely see them as necessities for the success of ourselves and families, means we give possession of our hearts to them. Our success in attaining and distributing treasures like these determine our happiness and joy. Our reasonings, which is the way we think and perceive, and our actions are based upon those types of treasures. We allow our lives, our legacies, and the way we love to be determined by time and money. Don't worry. And verse 25 gives us a clear picture about how we should approach this. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lifespan? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How do they grow? They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' Or 'What will we drink?' Or 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Our treasure needs to be redefined, seen through more heavenly eyes. A more divine perspective needs to be adopted. Now, I know it's easily said and extremely hard to do, to wrap our minds around not thinking of these things first. But our minds need to be changed, need to be renewed. So back to the question, what do you want your legacy to be? We've considered our identity, our treasures, even realized the need for the arduous task of renewing our way of thinking, and it brings us to the last thing to consider, your faith. What you actually believe about life and what we've been called to. I like to go back to Matthew, but chapter 18 for this one. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called the child whom he put among them, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." During our question in Holy Donuts today, it kind of led us in this direction. About trusting God, sometimes we just need to adopt the faith of a child. Because when we allow our adult minds to think about the vast universe and everything that comes in it, we can kind of pull ourselves away from some of the things we believe. It is impossible for us to understand everything about God. Impossible. So we should take it step by step and moment by moment. I think about J.B. Lekovich. He doesn't think or wrestle with things like this. There's just an innate knowing, or dare I say faith, that mommy and daddy is going to love me. That mommy and daddy is going to spend time with me. That mommy and daddy is going to feed me and clothe me and take care of me. So all I have to do is play and be happy. And B, I believe Jesus is saying this to us. Why so serious? You should be like JB and trust the Father with the heavy stuff. See your time, see your money, see your life through the perspective of JB-like faith. Now, I'm still saying be good stewards of your life, but don't let it control your life. Otherwise, and this is a tough question, what role does God play in your life? Or better yet, what role do you allow God to play in your life? Now you can answer that question of what do you want your legacy to be, as if nothing would hinder you from truly building that legacy. The next W is will. What are you willing to do? At what lengths are you willing to go to build the legacy you want and the legacy that Jesus is calling you to? Let's consider the young rich man of Matthew 19. He goes to Jesus and he said, "What good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus replies, "Why do you ask about goodness? There is only one who is good. Just keep the commandments." The young man asks, "Which ones?" Jesus replies ironically here with the last sixth of the Ten Commandments, the ones that deal with the relationships man has with others rather than with God, and ending with love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. But this wasn't good enough. The young man replied, "I've done all these things, but it still feels like I'm missing something." He's probably thinking about how good he is to people, but realize that there still was a void. Jesus tells him, basically, if you want it bad enough, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. If you're anything like me or the rich man, that's a lot to swallow. The writer recalls the young man was extremely sorrowful because he owned a lot of stuff. So I most certainly am not telling you to do that. I'll leave Holy Spirit to bring a more deeper revelation than what I have for you. What I have for you is to think about what happens in this story. we can see there was an assignment for his time. Jesus instructed him to drop what he was doing and follow him. We can glean that there was an assignment for his talent, the thing that he was good at, based on Paul's assertion that we are all essential members of one body. There's a specific work for each of us. And we know this rich young man was good at something because it made him successful. And there was an assignment for his resources because Jesus told him to give to the poor. So what I suggest is that there must be a more balanced approach in how we distribute these areas of our lives, our time, our talents, and our resources. Now, I'd like to help you answer these questions, the key word being help. But I first ask you to indulge me in something very unorthodox. To conclude this message, I need you to rise up and follow me to East Huntersville. All I need is about 20 to 30 more collective minutes of your time. That's travel and talking time. For those of you who cannot, I believe I have left you with some powerful questions to contemplate and answer. There were cards in your bulletins today. Everybody get a bulletin? If you would, please take a few minutes to participate in a brief survey regarding our East Huntersville ministry. The link should be at the bottom of the card, and there also should be a link on the screen. Nope, that's my fault. It should be at the bottom of the card. And I invite you to check out some of the stops that are part of East Huntersville tours outlined on the cards. May the peace and love of Christ be with you until we meet again. For those of you who will indulge me, I'll see you in East Huntersville. The address to our meeting spot is on the cards that were attached to your bulletin. It is labeled Final Stop.